This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please pray with me. Lord, when we are overwhelmed with grief and doubt, your love and purpose, help us to know that you are with us and grieving alongside us. Give us enough faith to believe that you are good and that you care for us. Deepen our faith when we experience life in a tomb, so that when we enter a season of bright light, we will not forget your grace. Amen. Amen. Thank you. This is a reading from the Gospel of John that is often used at funerals, and it is such a poignant, reassuring, consoling passage, we can understand why. Definitely understand why. But because of the background to it, it gives us a deeper understanding of Jesus and who he is as a human being. We see glimpses into his humanity that we don't necessarily see in other stories. Yes, in the healing stories. Yes, in the love that's shown in the feeding of the 5,000. Yes, in those where there's masses of people or even one-on-one. But in this one, we see him in a personal setting. He's with friends. He can sit down, he can breathe, they can joke. He's in a place where Martha and Mary and Lazarus are familiar. He shares meals with them. He stays there in Bethany with Lazarus and Mary and Martha before going into Jerusalem normally. So there is that sense of familiarity, of love, that may not be in all the relationships of the people he encounters. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a lot of my friends in the last 3 years, particularly those who are out of state or of distances. We've gotten in a car and gone just about as far as Yeehaw Junction, which is about it. But my friends made their way down from North Carolina. They were supposed to come in November and had to postpone. But it was so wonderful. They stayed at our house, and she's a friend of 40 years. She and I were together at Holy Trinity for about 12 years. She went on to seminary. I went on to seminary. But we grew up in friendship and as Christians there at Holy Trinity in West Palm Beach. So it was like a spark of renewal and of fresh air to be with people who know us and love us in these 3 years of dryness, of being in a tomb, of saying, are these dead bones ever going to live? Are they ever going to breathe again? Are we ever going to get up again? Are we ever going to be excited again? And as we emerge, as we become again, knowing ourselves through the eyes of our friends, and knowing that we are loved and that we love them, it brightens and changes our lives. So in this setting of a personal story where Jesus is with his friends and he is away and he hears of Lazarus' death, and he says what we're going to do is the story is going to be for the glory of God. We wait to see how Jesus is going to bring breath to those dead dry bones, and how it makes a difference to all of us. Into his humanity, we see as he enters into the story, as John takes him back into Bethany and near it, and Martha approaches him and said, if you'd just been here, and I wonder what the tone of her voice was, if she was a friend, was it, if you had just been here, or was it, oh Lord, if you'd just been here, he would be alive now. What kind of reprimand or chastising was it? And so eventually he says to him and her in the conversation, do you believe that he's going to live again? Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe that this can be shown to the glory of God? And she said, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is to come. And I love Raymond Brown, commentator, who says, she said that, she believed that, but she really didn't know the depths of what that meant. For the Messiah to come, to bring life to Israel, but in our Christian setting, to give us new life, of being able to be resurrected with Jesus in the present, in the gift of the Spirit that was to come. And the other things besides his weeping are the two times that he's agitated. And this is a word that is similar to anger, and the commentators sort of quarrel over exactly what it meant, but it is to feel so deeply. It's not just the churning, but to feel so deeply that you're angry. So when he sees Mary crying and the Jews with her, he is so agitated. He is so upset that there is such depth of grief, that this is, you know, related to that separation of God and humanity that occurs when we turn from God and turn to other things to satisfy that innate and wonderful desire for the beautiful, for the true, for who God is in love, for something cheaper. He was agitated and upset, and it occurs then again when he's at the tomb, when he sees the toll of sin and death, that his friend is there bound in bones that are drying out, no longer breathing, no longer alive, the penalty of sin and death and separation because of Satan's kingdom. Standing there, we hear those words that always bring us hope, always bring us the desire to follow Jesus even more closely because of the love. Unbind him, but first, Lazarus, come forth. Wherever we are, however deep we are in that cave, however not moving in that tomb, however we have been deprived of life and love, wherever we might be, Jesus calls us and says, come out. Come out. Come out into the light and see my love. See the love of God for you and all the wishes and good news that God wants us to have in Christ. We also see his divinity, that he is willing to be and willing to undergo being the sacrifice as the Lamb of God, which John had pointed out as he went by in that first chapter of John. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There he is. And so the disciples followed, right? And what does he say? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? He says, come and see. Yet, here we have it reversed. It is one of those things that ties us to that Lamb of God, knowing what his sacrifice is going to be, in order for us to pay attention, to go with the people to see the tomb. Where have you laid him? Come and see. Come and see. So Jesus goes, utters those words. So Jesus in his divinity, knowing that the love of God to him is life, and that indeed that he will be raised from the dead and be able to give us life, he puts his trust in God solely, never doubting. And the prayer that he prays, if we look at it, if we look at what he says, it's not, Lord, please give me the power to raise Lazarus. Please comfort Mary and Martha. Please be here now. He says, thank you. Thank you. It's opportunity. It's opportunity to show the power of God that can raise us out of the tombs and out into life and into the light. We look at this and say, this gives us hope. This is why I want to choose this verse to be read at a funeral where I've been separated and deprived from the love of my friend or from the love of my family. Give me this reading that tells me of God's consoling power in Jesus, in his love for us, not only in humanity, but also in his divinity. Mortal, can these bones breathe? Can they stand? Can they become anew? Give us the Spirit of God. And it's interesting because Jesus who frees Lazarus, I think of Toni Morrison, and what she said is the function of freedom is to free others. The function of that, the part of giving life is to having life, is to give life to others. And during this period of Lent, We've been talking about ways in the Gospel of John that we experience new birth, refreshment, reconnectedness with not only each other, but particularly with our Lord, of re-energizing us to appreciate again the love of each other and the love of Christ that he has for us. We have seen in Nicodemus the idea of new birth, the Spirit coming upon us, and from above, the woman at the well with the living water that's welling up in her all the time as she could turn to it. The blind man who sees the light of the world before him, not just lifting our eyes and being able to see, but the insights, the flashes that we've been able to experience, and all the beautiful liturgies, all the different things that have been offered from the word beyond words, from Coco's Shrove Tuesday parade to Coco's tea party, to just the beautiful words of our liturgy that have been presented to us with such love and carefulness. Not only that, but Jesus as the light of the world, giving us eternal life, the one who is the comforter, the one who consoles, the one who says, don't give up, continue to believe and hold on. Take what we've gotten, pray on it, let it magnify itself in us, and let me come and see over and over again what God is offering us through Christ. We'll be renewing our baptismal vows at our Easter service, and it is with the idea that, again, we turn from what is dead to what is life, and that we are ready to die ourselves to that, to what is presented. In our liturgy today, it reminds us that it is only in turning God to God that we can turn away from what pulls us from God. So living water, light, new birth, all that, life eternal, offered to be taken. So as we begin to enter this Holy Week coming up, not this week, but the following week, we again experience that, come and see, start again, wherever the part is that needs to die, let it die, so that we can then experience what God has for us anew. Amen. Amen.